Caden was my best friend, but there were a few things about him that drove me nuts, starting with the way he always kept a screen between himself and everything else. If something happened around Caden, you could bet your ass it was getting recorded and uploaded to social media. That's why, when he couldn't show us a photo of his new girlfriend, we had serious doubts about whether or not she actually existed. "Emma doesn't like cameras," was the only explanation we got. And considering Caden's last two girlfriends, it wasn't really all that strange. Fresh in our minds were Talia, Caden's ex, who wound up hospitalized because she consumed nothing but cranberry juice for over a month, and Kim, his ex before that, who once spent a 3-hour road trip trying to convince us that aliens built the pyramids. Given what we'd experienced of Caden's dates so far, something as simple as an aversion to photos didn't seem quite so extreme. Not then, anyway. When Caden introduced us to Emma, it was at an old family restaurant on the far edge of town. Apparently, she wouldn't go anywhere that might have cameras recording her, and Caden called a sort of emergency meeting to remind us just how seriously she took the whole thing.
"Do you think she's like a spy or something?"
our pal Carlos teased.
"Probably more like a serial killer,"
Leah added.
"You guys,"
Caden rolled his eyes.
"Please, Emma is a perfectly normal girl."
The looks on our faces said that we'd believe it when we saw it. But to our surprise, Emma was wonderful. In fact, the only real mystery seemed to be what the hell such a thoughtful, clever, beautiful person was doing with a deadbeat like Caden.
"It was a pleasure to meet you all,"
Emma said at the end of the evening, with a level of grace and good manners that was typically unheard of among Caden's dates. I was so taken by her that I barely even noticed how she just walked away, down the road after she said her goodbyes. There was nowhere she could have parked down there, no visible way back into town. I might not have ever thought anything more of it if I hadn't spotted Emma while out for an evening walk a few days later. Caden's girlfriend was crossing the bridge by the skate park, walking fast with her head down. Across the street, a skater had gotten down into a dad squat to record his friend's amateur trick. Emma had noticed him too. Her neck snapped in the skater's direction. All of the grace and gentleness that Caden's girlfriend had displayed for us disappeared. She sprinted across traffic with a murderous glint in her eyes, smashing the kid's phone to the ground, stomping on its screen again and again with a heavy boot. Of course, the teenager shouted and protested, but only for a second. From where I was standing, I couldn't see what Emma did. I only saw the skater's reaction. A look of pure terror flickered across their faces. They backed away from the tiny, non-threatening girl in front of them and ran, even leaving behind their boards in their hurry to escape. Emma finished stomping on the phone and began looking around for witnesses. I ducked behind a concrete column, unable to shake the feeling that I'd seen something I shouldn't have. The only thing I knew for sure after what I'd witnessed was that Caden was right. Emma really, really didn't like having her picture taken. There was an uneasy feeling in my gut as I walked home that night. I hoped that Caden's odd new girlfriend was just an anti-technology conspiracy theorist, or something. But it was hard to put such an innocent explanation on what I'd seen. And the dream I had that night made it even harder. In my nightmare, a shadow woman chased me through a barren forest while I took a video of every step. I told myself to stop trying to record her, to just run. But in that sick sort of logic particular to dreams, my body refused to listen to me. My legs moved slower and slower, like I'd been drugged, like I was running through thick mud. Then the shadow's icy cold, inhuman fingers closed around my neck from behind. I woke up coughing, sputtering, and choking. Maybe that nightmare was what made me less than enthusiastic when Caden suggested that we go for a hike with Emma and her friends. It was one of the few activities that we could all do together, where Emma wouldn't have to worry about being recorded. And according to Caden, her friends were just as camera shy as she was, filled with foreboding. I grilled Caden for more information before the day of the big hike. Just what was it that bothered Emma so much about being recorded? Evasive at first, he eventually came around to admitting it was probably some sort of political thing. Emma and her friends mentioned their sacred rights anytime the topic came up. The right to privacy, Caden suggested. The truth, I realized, was that he had no idea. When I pulled into the gravel lot off the forest road where our hike would begin, a small circle of people were waiting for me. Maybe it was just paranoia, but the way they all looked toward my car at once made me feel like they were plotting something. I only recognized one of the faces in the circle, Emma's. She smiled and waved me over to meet her equally photogenic and photophobic friends, Tucker, Hugh, and Caroline. Everyone was welcoming, everyone was cheerful, everyone was perfect, to the point that it seemed uncanny. In fact, when I wasn't looking at them, their faces all seemed to blend together in my mind, coalescing into one generically attractive mask with only darkness underneath. I shuddered and searched for Caden, wondering if he had noticed the same thing I had. But my friends had already started down the trail, rambling to Emma about how many views his latest Instagram post had gotten. I hurried after them. For some reason, the thought of being left alone with Emma's eerily perfect friends filled me with dread. It was spring, but nothing was blooming. Carrion birds circled ominously in the cloudy sky overhead. Last year's leaves crunched beneath my feet with every step. I picked up my pace, and Emma's friends filled in behind me like a creepy honor guard. They made a point to include me in their conversation, but their talk was all surface chatter. After 2 hours of walking, I realized that I still didn't know anything real about any of them, where they lived, what they did for a living, or even how they knew Emma. Up ahead, the bare brown branches opened out into a magnificent cliff top, but I didn't want to get too close to the edge, not with Emma's friends so close behind me. Although Caden was constantly reminding us not to record anything, the view must have triggered some primal influencer instinct. He took his phone from his pocket without even thinking. Emma and her friends tensed up like he just pulled a gun on them. He squatted in front of the view and started to raise the camera in selfie mode.
Caden!
Emma scolded, angrier than I'd ever seen her. My friend had stopped lifting his phone seconds before all of them would have appeared on screen. Caden returned the device to his pocket, mumbling apologies. But there was a troubled look in his eyes that hadn't been there before. We carried on with our walk as though nothing had happened, but I sensed that Caden was dying to tell me something, if only we could get some privacy. Unfortunately, Emma and her friends didn't leave us alone for a second. In fact, it almost felt like they were sticking close to us on purpose. The forest began to feel very big, very lonesome, and very far from help. As the trail wound down into a shadowy gorge, Caden picked up his pace. He walked far ahead with Emma, hands stuffed into his pockets. At first, I thought he was just cold. Then I felt my phone buzz.
Guys?
I muttered to Tucker, Hugh, and Caroline.
Do you mind? I gotta go take care of some business behind a tree.
The three of them exchanged a dark glance, but backed off far enough for me to crouch in the bushes and read Caden's message.
Use your camera,
it read. The guy was on his phone so much, he'd been able to type it out in his pocket without even looking. I frowned and peered out from where I squatted. Emma's friends still waited for me up ahead. Holding my phone just above the carpet of leaves, I looked at the screen out of the corner of my eye. But where Tucker, Hugh, and Caroline stood, I only saw shadows. My blood turned to ice. I lowered the phone, raised it, and lowered again when Emma's friends looked suspiciously my way. There was no doubt about it. The leafless trees and gray sky showed up fine. But according to the camera, Emma's friends were figures of pure darkness. My throat was dry as I fixed myself and strolled leisurely back to the group.
Sorry.
I tried to laugh. I think I ate some bad tacos last night. My comment was met with smiles, sympathy, and even an offer of stomach medicine. But I had no intention of drinking anything that those four gave me. A horrible thought ran through my mind. Caden and Emma had split a bottle of water for the hike, but I hadn't seen her take a single sip all day.
We'd better catch up with the others, don't you think?
I stammered. I practically jogged down the empty trail, that feeling of foreboding growing stronger and stronger. I longed to see a park ranger, a couple walking their dog, anyone. But between the grim weather and the remoteness of the spot, there wasn't a soul to be found. I suddenly wondered if that was intentional. I finally spotted Caden up ahead. He was leaning on a tree beside an overgrown path, with a dazed expression on his pale face.
"What's up?"
I panted. Caden lurched forward like he was about to puke on his shoes.
"Caden isn't feeling well," Emma spoke for him. "There's a shortcut here that leads back to the cars. I was thinking we ought to take it, don't you?" "Don't worry, we've been down it before, so we know where it goes."
The narrow dirt track wove down among murky cliffs. "We've been down it before. We know where it goes." I didn't doubt any of that. I just doubted that the sketchy path would ever lead back to the parking lot. I doubted that we'd ever come back alive if we went down it.
"I'd hate to ruin your hike," I replied finally. "I'll just help him back to the car myself. We'll all go,"
Emma's friend Hugh cut in.
"We'd hate for anything to happen to you," Caroline added.
"No, I'm his friend, and I said I'm taking him back myself."
Nerves made my voice crack. It echoed back mockingly from the desolate rock walls of the gorge. I looked from one cheerful face to another. No one spoke. Was it just me, or were they inching closer? A stick cracked beneath my heel as I stepped backwards. Then everything happened at once. A few crows took off squawkingly from the bushes nearby. Caden slumped over into the dead leaves. Emma and her friend sprung toward me, their smiles fixed as their hands grabbed my arms, pinning me. And while their hands looked normal, the shape of their fingers felt many jointed and wrong, and their grasp was icy cold.
"Caden!"
I screamed seconds before Emma pinched my nose shut and poured what was left of the water bottle she'd poisoned down my sputtering throat. Things got blurry after that. I remember a hazy image of Hugh and Caroline grabbing Caden beneath his armpits and dragging him down the trail. Moments later, my own legs gave out. When my eyes snapped open again, the sky had darkened. Caden dangled upside down by a rope from a wizened, ancient tree in front of me. A bonfire was beneath him. He was still unconscious. Emma, Hugh, Tucker, and Caroline stood in a circle around where he hung. A damp, musty smell filled the air, and a cool breeze blew across my face. There must be a cave nearby, I thought. I was just about to turn my head to look when the faces of Emma and her monstrous friends snapped toward me. I shut my eyes tight, pretending to still be unconscious, but they weren't looking at me. Footsteps were approaching from the subterranean fissure behind me. I lay perfectly still. When I finally dared to peek again, I saw that the group around my unconscious friend had opened a space in their circle. I couldn't see the thing that occupied it, but I could see the twisted, semi-human shadow that it cast in the fire's light. The group began to sway and chant. As they did, Caden seemed to fade, and the thing in the circle began to take on his appearance, clothes and all. With an immense effort, I wiggled my toe, then my whole foot. Whatever drug they fed me was beginning to wear off. I didn't have much time. Soon their ritual would be complete, and they'd turn to me. Then it would be my turn to hang helplessly upside down from a tree, while a living shadow walked out of that cave to steal my appearance and my life. My arms and legs were numb, but at least I was moving. I groggily pushed one arm forward, then another. I hardly dared to breathe as I crawled at a snail's pace toward a narrow crevice in the cliffs. The roots and rocks in the crevice formed a crude staircase that I was just barely able to climb. Looking over my shoulder, I could see that the chanting group was still focused on Caden. He had almost completely faded now, replaced by the fifth, shadowy shape that danced around the fire with the others. It wouldn't be long now. I ran as fast as my groggy limbs would allow. The forest seemed to go on forever, a nightmare of slick leaves and muck. As I fled, I couldn't help but imagine those icy hands from my dream closing around my neck. Suddenly, there were bright lights behind me and a horrible screeching sound. Someone cursed. A late-night factory worker leaned out the window of a beat-up truck, shaking a fist at me. I was so frightened and disoriented that I hadn't even realized I'd finally found the road. She must have seen the terror in my face, because she waved me over and offered me a ride to the police station. sitting in the interrogation room, wrapped in a blanket with a warm cup of coffee in my hand, I invented a story about how my friend Caden got lost while hiking. Fear and whatever poison I'd been given still pounded through my veins, but I at least had the sense to know that if Caden showed up dead, I didn't want to be known to the cops as the crazy guy who wandered out in the night babbling about drugs and shadow people. Of course, Caden didn't show up dead, although it might have been better if he had. He walked out of the woods a few days later, perfectly healthy, with a big smile on his face, and a newfound hatred of cameras.